Welcome back into the program on this Wednesday. We are at the middle of the week, and Robert McElroy is back with us, as he is every Wednesday during college football season. Now we're in the middle of the week between week three and week four. Week three saw a lot of interesting action, and we have tons of, top 25, top 5, top 10 matchups coming up this weekend, too. So a lot to break down, and Robert, good to have you with us.
Yeah, no, it's always good to be back. I appreciate being on. How you been, brother?
I'm okay, and it's just rolling along. I'm finally hoping that some cooler weather will move in. We could start tasting the fall in the air, but we're still a little bit warm.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that, too. I'm tired of it being hot all the time. It's raining and whatnot. I mean, it's supposed to be pretty dreary all week in Birmingham. That should bring the temps down a little bit. But yeah, I'm tired of the hotness also. It gets pretty old.
Well, Robert, we'll jump right in, and we'll talk about a little bit about last week. First of all, before we get to the Auburn game, I want to get your thoughts on Tennessee-Florida. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that game, but the biggest game in the SEC. What struck you about those two teams colliding?
What struck me about Tennessee and Florida is that Florida has a really good defense. I really like what they're doing under Muschamp. I think he's one of the greatest defensive minds in the country, and it's starting to show on the field in just week three. I like Tyler Bray at Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to do some good things here and there, but the East, to me, it's between Florida and South Carolina, in my opinion. I'm not impressed by Georgia. Kentucky is awful.
Yeah.
Vandy's on the rise, but they're not going to get to Atlanta. You and I discussed on our previous program that if whoever came out of Florida, Tennessee on top early, and whoever comes out of South Carolina and Georgia early, those two games right out of the gate automatically put themselves in a good position. And to me, it's starting to really ring true, because Florida and South Carolina are the only two teams in the East that really impress me.
I agree with you, and I want to echo everything you said about Florida's defense. They look very good, and they're going to eventually have some growing pains against somebody, but they sure didn't have any against Tennessee. Now, granted, they did kind of go to sleep late in the game and allow Tennessee to come back in that game, but for the early going, they really just jumped on them and stayed on them.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what I saw. I think, and Chris Rainey, the Florida running back, I mean, he's one of the slipperiest, quickest little dudes in the country. I was really impressed with his play. He was a co-offensive player of the week this year in the SEC, and well deserved.
Well, as long as they can keep him doing that and not texting his girlfriend, I guess everything will be all right. Let's move on now to the matchup in South Carolina, as Auburn went over and played Clemson, and you are our resident Auburn analyst on the show. You've been talking about a particular issue that Auburn has for quite some time. If anybody would listen to what you have to say, and why don't you just break it down for us?
Well, the defense has been, pretty pathetic. It's been beyond pathetic, in fact. I don't have the statistics right here in front of me. I know that Auburn's defense gave up, I think it was 624 yards against Clemson, and made everybody on that offensive side of the ball for Clemson look like All-Americans. And the problem is fundamental. It's tackling. And if you talk to old-timers who have been keeping up with college football for decades and decades upon decades, they'll tell you simply that it comes down to two things. It's blocking and tackling. And whichever teams block and tackle the best are going to put themselves in a very good position to win any football game they play. Auburn doesn't tackle very well at all, and that should really bother Auburn people out there, that this defensive staff, other than Tracy Rocker, who of course took the defensive line coaching job at Tennessee, has been intact for 3 years, yet they can't teach their kids to tackle. And that's something you work on in the off season. That's something you work on in the spring, and you start to back off a little bit as you get closer to the season, as to not get anybody injured. It looks like they don't practice at all, and that should concern anybody out there who keeps up with that team.
Yeah, well, I think it does, and it's good to get your thoughts on it as a concerned Auburn person. I know you are, and I agree. Everything you said, it comes down to fundamentals. Well, let's move on now. Let's transition into this next weekend, and there are some really nice matchups that I don't think we have a Florida State Oklahoma like matchup. Which, by the way, I think we both were correct on that.
I actually picked Florida State.
Oh, that's right. I'll give you a little bit of credit though. But you said before the season, you kept saying over and over, this is why I thought you picked them, because you said Florida State was not there yet. So I will give you a slight amount of credit, even though you changed last week.
Yeah. Well, I mean they still look pretty good, I thought, and I think Florida State, regardless of their loss to Oklahoma, could probably still be looked at as being among the elite in the country. You know, I wouldn't, after that loss, I wouldn't just count them out fully.
Right.
But, I mean, I liked what I saw from Florida State, but I really liked what I saw from Oklahoma. I think defensively they look among the best.
They are very, very good. And Florida State, by the way, has to travel to Clemson this weekend, so that'll be an interesting game for them. We'll see how they bounce back. That game's at 2:30 on ESPN. And it's at Clemson, so we'll see if Clemson has a hangover from last week's win over Auburn, or if they can bounce right back and play Florida State, who probably is wanting to get a big-time bounce-back game if they could play them up close. Not a whole lot going on in the SEC this week as far as non-conference goes. You have, can you believe, by the way, South Carolina struggling with Navy? I mean, we talked about the East. South Carolina is supposedly the co-leader with Florida now, and they can barely beat Navy.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game, but I did hear about South Carolina's struggles. I really know nothing about Navy. I don't know what. I know plenty about South Carolina on account of watching them last year, just knowing what they had coming back and seeing a little bit of their play against Georgia. Yeah, I mean, hearing that surprised me too.
Yeah. So let's jump right into the first game I want to break down here, and that, of course, let's start with Georgia and Ole Miss. And the reason why I put this game on, because I thought it would be a good game for us to pick, even though these two teams really probably aren't going to matter much at all at the end of the year. But Mark Richt, fighting for his job. Houston Nutt probably has his job already packed up and mailed off somewhere. We don't know where, but Ole Miss will most definitely be looking at another coach at the end of the year after the 30-7 beatdown they got from Vanderbilt last weekend. So this game among coaches whose stocks are severely declining, what do you see and who do you like?
Well, I really hate how the Houston Nutt era is shaping up for Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss has a great fan base, but they're just having to endure a lot of hardship, especially as of late, coming off a 37 drumming off of by the hands of Vanderbilt. This program is suffering, and it only gets worse. That's the thing to me. It doesn't seem to ever improve. I'm taking Georgia in this game. As lowly as Georgia's been in what little bit of games I've seen them play, I still like Aaron Murray, and I think Brandon Boykin is a threat.
I agree with you.
To break it at any moment. And I like Isaiah Crowell, too. What I've seen from him, I mean, he seems to be carrying the load pretty well there at running back. So I have no reason not to take Georgia in this, to just out-talent Ole Miss.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm going to take Georgia as well. I just think they exactly have more talent than Ole Miss. And that game, by the way, is at 11:21 Central on the SEC Network. If you get that, check your local affiliate for that game, I'm sure. There will be just tons of people waiting to see the Georgia and Ole Miss game. But as you said, I think Georgia just has a little bit more. And I don't know, a lot of people have said Georgia could go 10-2. I think that's a tall order, and I know they don't really play a whole lot. They don't play the big three in the West, so they could do that. But I just don't see them doing it. I mean, I saw them against South Carolina just give that game away. I don't see them doing that. I see them probably losing to Florida for the, you know, I don't know, 19th time out of 22 previous meetings. So I think Georgia has a long, long way to go.
They do, and I'll tell you what, Bun, I think the bottom half of the SEC is pretty just unimpressive.
Yeah,
I
agree.
The top half, the LSU, Alabama, South Carolina, even Florida and Arkansas, what little bit I've seen them play, those teams, to me, are legitimate. I think they'll do a lot of great things in 2011, but I think the drop-off is pretty far. I'm not impressed with the bottom half of the conference at all. I mean, people talk about, I mean, the SEC is definitely the strongest conference out there, definitely the most competitive week in and week out. But the bottom half of this league, I'm not expecting them to make much noise.
A game at night on ESPN, and the SEC is dominating the ESPN airwaves. They've got a game on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, and ABC, involving SEC teams Saturday night at the same time. So that's going to be a pick your poison if you're an SEC fan with a remote control in your hand. But how about Florida playing at Kentucky? And we saw the big win last week against Tennessee. One would think that they would have no problem with Kentucky, considering Kentucky just got beat by Louisville, and they barely squeaked by Central Michigan the week before, and barely squeaked by Western Kentucky the week before that. So Kentucky has been inauspicious, to say the least, so far this year. But they do play Florida. Do you think Florida kind of, thinking about the Alabama game, hung over a little bit from the Tennessee win, may not give Kentucky all the respect they deserve?
That's not the impression I get.
Okay.
Will Muschamp's a fiery guy. He's a businesslike guy. He strikes me as the kind of coach that's going to have his players ready week in and week out. I really like Chris Rainey. This Florida team is full of talent, and defensively, we've already talked about it. They look great, and Kentucky's the Ole Miss of the East, I suppose, being right there below, well, everybody. They don't impress me at all. They're all for me to think this one's going to be close. Florida routes them.
I agree. I do. I think maybe in the early going it might be a little close, but Kentucky just has nothing. I mean, they haven't shown me anything this year. Beating Central Michigan and Western Kentucky by your fingernails isn't going to do anything for anybody. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Florida wins it, and I think they do it handily. Okay, let's move on now to Vanderbilt at number 12, South Carolina. And Vanderbilt, for those who don't know, is now 3-0. First time in a long time. They are 3-0. They have beaten Elon, Connecticut, which is a good non-conference win, albeit Connecticut may be having a down year. And they also beat Ole Miss at home 30-7 last Saturday. So Vanderbilt, and you know what, Robert? It was about defense. It wasn't offense that did it. It was defense. Trey Wilson had an incredible game, and an interception return for a touchdown, and another interception of Ole Miss. So, Vanderbilt's defense is playing well. I mean, it must be a sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah, no, Vandy has to be feeling really good coming off of a big win over Ole Miss. Like you said, you talked about Trey Wilson. He was actually the SEC Defensive Player of the Week for Week 3. I wonder how many times that's happened when a Vanderbilt defensive player actually gets Defensive Player of the Week honors. He did great. He returned one of those picks for a 52-yard score. So they got to be feeling confident, and I got to give you credit. You picked them in the offseason to throw a bowl, and they might just do that. But I think they're going to run into quite a hurdle here with South Carolina. I really like this Carolina team. Marcus Lattimore is shaping up to be one of the better running backs in the entire country, not just the SEC. I'll take South Carolina in this one to beat Vandy.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think I will say this about the matchup. The Vanderbilt strength is their defense, and South Carolina, and that game, by the way, should have been 30-0. They gave up a garbage touchdown in the fourth quarter to Ole Miss. But the South Carolina, the offensive productivity is where they are struggling right now. I don't know if they can get out of the box they've placed themselves in, and it's all due to Steven Garcia. He's just inconsistent. One day he plays really well, and the next day he just absolutely almost loses the game for them. So, I wonder if they can get out of this box, especially against a Vanderbilt defense that seems to be playing really well. Having said all that, I still like South Carolina in the game because of Marcus Lattimore. I think they will run him once, twice, three times in a row sometimes, just to throw off Vanderbilt's defense and pound it right into him. So I do like South Carolina on the sheer back of Lattimore and their power, but I do think it's going to be a really close game, and would not be surprised if Vanderbilt didn't pull off the upset in Columbia. But it is in Columbia, and I think that makes a difference as well. All right, going over to the other side of South Carolina, Florida State at Clemson. We talked a little bit about it earlier. Is this a bounce-back game for Florida State, or does Clemson have heroics for 2 weeks in a row now.
Well, I think Florida State wins this football game. It's like I said earlier, I like some things I saw out of Florida State against Oklahoma. Clemson looked good against Auburn, but to me they're facing a much different opponent and a much different monster defensively in Florida State. Not to take anything from Clemson quarterback Taj Boyd, who did a really good job. He had 386 yards of passing, 30 of 42 there for four touchdown passes. And then Clint Trickett, all 180 pounds of him, came in for Florida State when E.J. Manuel was hurt. And I still haven't heard anything about E.J. Manuel's condition. I know it was a shoulder injury. I haven't heard whether he'll be back for this game or not. Regardless, I'm going to take Florida State in a very close one. Could be a really, really good game. I think Clemson's going to give them all they want.
I like Florida State as well. I think they just have more talent, and they will, in the end, be able to oust Clemson. I think Clemson may come out and get up by a touchdown or so and get everybody all worked up into a frenzy. But as you said, at the end of the day, Florida State's a much bigger and better team, and they'll be able to outmaneuver them. Let's go now to Arkansas at Alabama, the CBS 230 game of the week this week, and not much needs to be said about this. It's obviously Bobby Petrino versus Nick Saban, an offensive mind versus a defensive mind, and Arkansas has a lot of weapons on offense, probably the best receiving core, I would think, in the nation. And, of course, Alabama's defense is highly touted, so the matchups here are endless. What do you like?
Well, I haven't had the chance to really see Arkansas very much this year, but I do know it's a Bobby Petrino coach football team, so I know they're great offensively. I've had the chance to see Alabama some, and I like what I see so far. They're running the ball better than anybody and playing defense as good as anybody in the country as well. But I'm taking Alabama in this one. I know I said in the offseason that I would probably pick Arkansas once it came time to, but I won't be doing that. I like defense to beat offense in this game, and I think it's a great clash of both. I will say this, though. Alabama's favored by 11.5 points. I couldn't believe that number. I don't think they'll cover that spread.
They will.
11.5. I just find that's a whopping number. I don't think Bama will cover the spread. I do like them to win the game. And this could be the game where Arkansas starts to miss Nile Davis. Yeah. Not to take anything away from Ronnie Wingo Jr. He had 109 yards and three touchdowns against Troy, mind you. But Nile Davis was a special back.
He was
poised to have a good year.
Yeah.
And this could be the game that they miss him without a running back to bring some stability and some balance to their offense. There's no reason that I should pick Arkansas to win this game.
Well, I agree with pretty much everything you said. I agree with you about Davis. Definitely, I mean, he was the top running back or top back at a running back position as far as rushing yards last year. Of course, Cam Newton was the number one overall rusher, but Nile Davis was a great back, and you can't take that away from him, and that is a significant loss. Having said that, I do like Ronnie Wingo myself. I think this is going to be a great matchup in all phases of the game. Wouldn't be surprised to see this one come down to the final minutes. I don't know, though. Tyler Wilson and all of his talent playing on the road frightens me a little bit to where I'm going to have to pick Alabama just because I'm not sure how he is going to handle that, even though I know he did play cleanup last year for Ryan Mallett a little bit at Auburn. But even still, Auburn won the game by a wide margin. So I'm going to take Alabama just because I'm not sure that Tyler Wilson is ready to have an on-fire day on the road yet. I think that'll be a key factor in the game. Let's move on now to our final matchup of the week. College Game Day will be visiting LSU at West Virginia, and rumors are out that West Virginia could be the next school in conference expansion for the SEC. So this could be an SEC matchup before long. What do you see here? Is LSU another test on the road?
Well, I really like LSU in this game, and it is another big road test for them, but I just love the way LSU's playing defense right now. I love that 1-2 punch up there that running back with Spencer Ware and Michael Ford. The way they play defense, it's just, I saw them against Mississippi State, and yeah, West Virginia's in trouble. I think LSU is just going to manhandle them.
Well, Robert, surprisingly, I'm going to take West Virginia because I believe LSU has had a lot to deal with this month. This is a month where they played one game in Baton Rouge, and that was against Northwestern State. They played the other one, of course, against Oregon. They traveled there. They traveled to Mississippi State last week, and now they're traveling to Morgantown, West Virginia. I mean, they are racking up the frequent flyer miles in the month of September, and I just think that's a lot for college-age kids to have to weather in that first month of play. This is not a pro team we're talking about. So I like West Virginia. I think Geno Smith's an excellent quarterback. I think they play really well in Milan Puskar Stadium in Morgantown, and I just think that in the end, the Mountaineers are going to be too much, and LSU suffers their first loss simply because they just have an unbelievably tough September schedule. So,
Geno Smith is pretty good. This is a case where I'm just picking defense over offense.
I understand.
You and I talked. Yeah, we had talked before the season started about potential storylines, and I had picked a storyline regarding offenses being better than defenses and how that's kind of becoming the new norm. I'm looking, so far, 3 weeks into the season, I'm looking dead wrong there. The defenses in the current landscape of college football are looking great. Oklahoma, Alabama, and LSU being, to me, the three that stand out to be the best. I don't know what the exact rankings are or whatever, just to me, what I've seen, they look awesome. And to me, it's going back to defense winning championships this year. That's kind of where I base my pick, and that's how I've based a lot of picks today.
Well, Robert, it's great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week, as we'll have a whole lot more to talk about then. All these great matchups we'll be able to review and then preview. Another special week, as I'm sure it will be every week in college football, has some kind of storyline. So great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man, it's always great. Feel free, those who are listening, to follow me at twitter.com at @being_large. And we'll talk to you next week, man. It's always great.
Appreciate it. Robert McElroy, everyone, and we will be back tomorrow as we continue on the road to week 4 in the college football season.